So imagine you're with him in the garden. Again, you're one of his closest friends. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So as you're with Jesus in the garden, as we've just read that, what's Jesus feeling? Think about that. He knew what was coming. And he knew he needed to talk to his Heavenly Father. So he went to pray. And it wasn't anything magical, but it's a good example for us. What do? We go to God. And prayer is just hanging out with God. Sometimes talking, sometimes not. Just like you would with your good friend. The important thing is that you're together. So as you're with Jesus in the garden, seeing what he's feeling, as you watch him wrestle in prayer, it's important to remember that Jesus was human. Everything he experienced as a man. His divinity did not help him. It did not make this easier. We often can try and, well, he was God, so he must have just sailed through this. No. As I read the text, did you sense the depth of his anxiety, the depth of his grief, the depth of his sorrow, the depth of his longing to not have to do this? The same as you would. One thing that's interesting over the story of the Passion Week is the lack of miracles. Up to this point, everywhere Jesus goes, there's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The only miracle in here is where he heals the ear of the servant. That's it. There's a reason. He wants us to know that he was human. The pain was real. It wasn't numbed by his divinity. What he felt would be exactly what you would feel. And sometimes I was thinking about this week and going, you know what, I wonder if his divinity actually made it harder. If I was in that place with these big, strong people, knowing what was going to come, I would be kind of like, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm kind of, you know, he could have stopped it. He could have. At any moment, he could have said, "The pain is too much. I'm done. Angels, come save me. Wipe them out. I'm done with them." I know for me, that would have actually made it harder. Knowing that I'm choosing this, I'm staying here, I'm enduring the pain because it's my choice. So now, imagine you're with Jesus in the garden. And we're going to take a minute and you can pray. Talk to Jesus. Ask him, what was that like for you? If something's bubbling up for you and you want to write it down, grab a piece of paper and write it down, or get the notes in your phone and write it out. If there's something that you want to process that way, that's totally fine. We'll take about a minute right now of just silence, of being with Jesus in the garden. And now we're going to move to the crucifixion. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." As I'm reading this, imagine you are actually there. You are sitting, you are standing at the foot of the cross. You are present. You are watching him as all of this is going on. Look at his face. What's he feeling? What's he communicating to you as he's going through this? Hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. People stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So think about that. Jesus is the Lamb of God who saves us from the stain of sin that keeps us away from God, the power of sin that ruins our lives and relationships, and ultimately the very presence of sin. Sin is ugly. Think about how sin has taken its toll on your life. But think about it only to the extent that you're still experiencing God's grace. If you find yourself spiraling, stop. The point is to experience our sin, to know that Jesus took what we deserved. Sit with that. It's okay to feel sad about that. As evangelicals, we tend to rush to Easter Sunday. But by doing so, we miss out on a big piece of our relationship with God. Relationships are built through good times and bad times, through knowing the other person in both, feeling what the other person feels. So feel what Jesus is feeling. Yes, he's doing this for you, but he's doing this for you. Do you feel his love? This isn't a look what I've done for you, now you better. It's not that at all. He loves you. He deeply, deeply loves you. We're going to finish our morning with more worship. And